I want to welcome everybody to today's edition of Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers. I always get to play your illustrious host because, well, it's just what I love to do, and this morning is one of those favorite types of calls because on the topic of keeping it casual and keeping it fun is our guest Stephen B. and Gisela Stevens. And normally I would say calling in from Winchester, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, but this morning they are finishing up some vacation time down in Florida. Actually, you guys are right in the middle of it, aren't you?
Right in the middle of it, Vince.
And so enjoying that, so they had a pre-committed schedule to catch a ferry today, so we're going to rattle through this really quick. And for those of you who have never heard or are not familiar with the legends, and I'll call them that, Stephen B. and Gisela Stevens, their background, and I'll give you the summed up version, is Stephen comes from the, well, he spent most of his time sitting at a desk, but not like what we would think, is sitting behind a desk at a TV studio. Did a lot of TV and radio as the anchor and then lead anchor, and I believe that was in several different cities, including St. Louis, and you just received recently an award for that. And Gisela's background is a flight attendant, and together they make quite the pair, and what they bring to the Nikin family is, well, nothing short of amazing is what I like to say. And Stephen, let's talk about, and we can just jump in, and if I missed anything in your bio there, go ahead and feel free to fill in some of those gaps and how it supports what you guys' strong point is today. And for those of us who have had the opportunity to watch you in action, I really do believe it's your ability to observe people completely that you don't know in a coffee shop, or as you call it, your second office, which is Starbucks, and create conversations. So take us back to, I mean, because you guys are coming up on, what is it now, 30-plus years of network marketing experience?
A little over 32 years.
32 years. Okay, I knew my parents were introduced when I was 10, and I know you guys were in that same company, so I knew it had to be about that time. But what is it that makes it so simple and so easy for you and Gisela to, number one, start conversations with people, and then within a few minutes, even a few seconds, basically win a friend? How do you observe people to create something and get the conversation going?
You have hit upon the number one thing that I think network marketers ought to be doing. If you're not a friendly person, go do something else.
Well, that's pretty clear right out of Proverbs. And it says, you know, if you want to have friends, you must first show yourself friendly.
Exactly. And you have to like people and like what you're doing. And I believe most of the people, if not all of them, that I have met in all of network marketing and Nikin in particular, are really friendly people. You have to love people. You have to have a core belief in what you believe that has to just be down there rock solid on the inside of you. And that's probably what drew us into friendship with the Rogers family 30-some years ago, because you had a core belief, your parents had a core belief. I remember when you were still in grade school and baking health cookies and sending them out for Christmas, and we always cherished those every year. But your parents always believed that, and we always believed that, and we acted out of that core of belief that we loved people and we could make a difference in their lives. So that's really where it all begins. And I just came back from Starbucks this morning, pedaled over there on my bicycle, and bought a New York Times for today, Saturday, just so we mark this, August the 16th. And if you want a copy of this, you can contact Brad at growingandwellness.com. How's that for a commercial write-off?
Hey, you did it right up front, so I don't have to do it at the end.
Do it then, too. People sometimes need to hear it twice. But there are always topics of the day that get us into things, and I'm always looking for those things. You know, we were with another company in those days, and I think your parents spent about the same time we did, 17 or 18 years with that company, and as a result of that, even when we left, there are still just a few things that I know we both use from that company, and I don't have to go into that, just just minor things that we don't have in the company that we're with now. But those stay with you. And even if Nikken would sell the building to Lexus and go another direction, there are things I would seek out that Nikken has.
Because during the Olympics, you've seen, about at least a dozen or two Lexus commercials.
That's why I mentioned that. Lexus rented a building, you know, and made the Olympic commercial. In case nobody has seen that, it's just a great thing. But, you know, the Lexi were gone within a day or two, and we were back to operations as normal. So
and which you know, on the topic of observing people and creating conversation, if you see a Lexus, you know, how simple is it to say, yeah, I've seen these great commercials. And a matter of fact, what makes it interesting is those have been filmed at the company I work for, our headquarters building.
That's right. That's right.
And you just stop talking, don't you? And at that point, they're like, well, what is that all about? I thought that was a Lexus dealership. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's one of the premier buildings used in filmmaking. And one of my favorites, of course, is Thank You for Smoking, which sounds like a really strange title for those of us involved in health. But our building was used prominently in that as well. And it's a mm-hmm. it's a thinking man's film.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, we always start with that. And in the Times this morning on page 10, there's a headline that says, Florida officials see added hurricane threat. Not enough fear, or they could have used another phrase and said not enough concern. And in here, they talk about a Harvard study that said if people stay and are really blown all over, these people are really concerned the public cost could be significant, according to this one official. And I'm looking for a quote in here where this man said, my concern is they will get the religion at the very last moment. Then they want everybody to help them at the very last moment. And that's what we cannot do. So, of course, that's what all of us face in the health field. And I'm talking about the health field as opposed to the sickness field. So many people think that disease is something that just kind of happens like a game of roulette. You never know when the bullet is going to be in the chamber and you're going to fall prey to some vile disease. And it's at that point that they start marshaling all the help that they can find in their insurance. They go onto Medicare and exhaust everything they can. They exhaust the family savings, and that's the end of their life very often. And it very often is the exhaustion of the family inheritance as well. Whereas with a little bit of prevention, they could have avoided all of that so that the chances of having something like that befall them just become smaller and smaller. It's not that we can go out and cure cancer or acid reflux or the common cold, but we can certainly make the body a whole lot less friendly to these diseases when they come walking in. So let me get back to how I look for people. I look for what they do and what they're eating and very often how they walk. It's very easy to say to somebody, is your back stiff, or does your knee hurt, or are your feet sore, or do you have problems walking all day like this? Like we were in Disney 3 days this week, and the amount of scooters we saw there, I'm talking about the kind of scooters where people who are behindered, what's the word in German? It's behindered.
like handicapped.
Handicapped, that's the word. Sorry, I've been with my wife all week. She'll say, look at the behindered people. Here are these people on scooters. I must have seen dozens and dozens and dozens.
And so, and in your estimation, Stephen, being in a public place like this, because I observe the same thing, that how many of those people that were renting those scooters really needed them versus the ones that really probably could have been walking around, in our opinion, that looked healthy enough to be walking around.
That's true. That's very true. Some could have avoided that. Of course, some things are accidents, some are legitimate. And Disney now has more than enough wheelchairs around just for when people can no longer make it. Mm-hmm. And they're at all places in the park free. So, you know, if you just get tired, you can sit down and be pushed. And then these courtesy wheelchairs get left behind. And I'm not putting anybody down who needs one. Please, please understand that. But I'm looking for the people that are maybe pre-scooter or pre-wheelchair in many cases, even though we can help those who are there as well. And you can make comments that just bring people out on the subject of backs and knees and sleep. It's just not hard to get them to talk about these things because they're ready for it.
So give us an example of something that you did this week, because, I mean, my mind flashes back to all the conversations I've started in waiting lines at Disney, and I can think of several. And the funniest ones are always when, as you said, you're not an ambulance chaser. You're not looking for people that need to have a wellness makeover. You're observing, you're pushing for people who are maybe a little bit more on the cutting edge that you'd want as a business partner. So
that's right. And these people are just absolutely everywhere. And they're so easy to spot. Before we get on to what we might say to these people, we also see a lot of bottled water. And pardon me, I have to greet a man who's coming in to do the pool, so it may get noisy here. he just popped through the gate. I didn't know he worked on Saturday.
And this is one of the many beauties of any conversation with Stephen and Gisela, is you guys truly believe that since we're alive, we might as well live life, you know, to its fullest. There's never a down day for you guys where you're not interacting with people. You have people in your home. You have people, whether it's doing a remodel or fixing something, you're constantly around people. And as you said at the very, very beginning, if that's not your forte, well, then network marketing is probably not for you, because it is a people business. It's like the flight attendant, and this was not your wife, Gisela. I know this comment didn't come from her. But it was the flight attendant who was asked by David Letterman, well, you know, what profession? Oh, I'm a flight attendant. Oh, really? Do you really enjoy working with people? And she said, I hate those people. And he said, and what airline are you working for? And she said, I'm not going to comment. But we really do have to enjoy people.
We do.
And it's what it's all about. So what you observe, you see, like you just said, the bottled water. And
bottled water, yeah, that's another one. You can ask about their concern for the water they drink and open up a conversation. You know, I've learned a lot from your family over the years. Like, your father I consider to be probably the past master on asking questions, and the way he just hangs in there asking questions and asking questions and asking questions, and never didactically coming along to his point so quickly that he runs people off.
I've seen him in action do that for five hours on a flight to Hawaii, and he never even told the guy why he was asking all the questions. He just really was intrigued and wanting to get to know him.
And that's a learned skill. You know, your dad came from doing other things in life, and he learned it and learned it very, very well. And I just appreciate that to no end. What's in the heart in abundance will come out through the mouth, and of course your dad is really concerned with people, really wants to help them at the core, and your mom is the same way. And what we notice coming out of her mouth now is avoid all animal things. So I looked around this morning before I poured a little bit of milk into my coffee to make sure she wasn't looking on a can somewhere, you know. I'm joking, but...
And for the record, we need to, you know, let people know she's not really that extreme. It's just simply you make discovery, and I'm going to cover this in a call. Actually, a couple people I've got lined up in the next couple months to really help illustrate this. And it's interesting talking on observation, when you observe people who are making a choice, even at a grocery store, at a restaurant, and they say, oh, I'll take this, and I want the light version, and I don't want it with that. And they modify this dish to no end, and you're going, they obviously they're thinking. They're concerned about wellness. Well, maybe I'll just say, hey, I couldn't help but over here.
Right.
And go from there.
Sure, and then start in on the Denny Rogers questions. I'm really serious about that, because I really appreciate the way he questions people, and... is there a CD that Brad has where your dad talks about questions?
You know, I don't think I've ever interviewed my dad and asked him, you know, all those different things, those different one-liners that he uses, or some of the opening statements that he uses.
And, he would be a very good interview. And,
oh, absolutely.
And you know, he needs to kind of warm them up before he turns your mom loose on him. because together, they're just a pair. I mean, they're marvelous.
And, you know, so many times, and speaking of pairs, I don't know if Gisi is available to jump on the line here.
She's not. She is doing a little bit of exercise. She got up a little bit late. Okay. And so she's out doing some stretching and some exercising and her cardio strides.
Well,
and I've been in mine already this morning.
I think the point needs to be made that as a couple, as a husband and wife, or if you're doing this business as a partnership where, it's two business-minded people going in together, if we understand our roles, and this is something that Stacy and I have learned from people like you guys, that you understand the roles that, that God has given us the strong points and run with those because, as you
right.
said, my dad's got to warm them up before turning them over to my mom. You and Gisela have different roles that you will do and what are your strong points, and I'm sure that, she may start a conversation with somebody and then say, hey, well, Stephen, why don't you come over here and talk to this person or explain this. Do you guys find yourself doing that?
We do that a lot. She is a keen observer of people, and I think on the whole, women are more intuitive than men in reading people. So the role that she fills is very often like what I've seen Stacy do in your life. If I'm going a little bit too far, she will soften it a little and get me to just back off before jabbing in again. and I've seen Stacy do that with you. Just change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's enough curiosity in the people, they will come back to it.
Uh-huh.
And if there's not enough curiosity, it might just be time to move on to the next person or, bring up the subject one or two more times, and if they don't bite, just go on and have a good day.
Uh-huh.
But every day, I think we should do this in some way, reach out to people. And it doesn't have to be you necessarily originating it, because that might make you too nervous to think that every day I've got to go find somebody. But with the people that you're with in your network marketing association, with the people that you're with, say, why don't we track back over a couple of people that you've talked to recently, and let me just help you with a conversation with those people and make a three-way call, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But together with the people that are downline, sideline, upline, in every way, there's always somebody you can work with to just do a little bit of follow-up. That's so essential in this business. Well, back to methods of prospecting. It really, what's happening in the world today is really playing right into our hands. The millions of people that are on the purple pill, for example, for acid reflux, and of course we have jade greenzymes to forestall that. The amount of people suffering from viral infections, the number of people with joint distress, and we have a premier joint product. In fact, I think if Niken would go away, I would find, and I think I already know who's making that joint product, because it's such a premier product. We have some things that are very proprietary to us.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the magnets, water is something that we just take several steps beyond. People talk about purified water, and that's why they drink the bottled water, and you and I know that at any given time, 38% of those bottled water companies are out of compliance, even with the FDA, let alone higher standards than that. So,
and yet, billions and billions of dollars of that water is, or I shouldn't say produced, because that's how much they're profiting every year, because it's costing them basically nothing,
right,
and then turning around and selling it to us, and that every single time when it comes to these things, we can literally bring up this conversation with people and say, wow, I noticed you're drinking bottled water. Is the stuff out of the tap not good enough? Oh, okay, well, why?
Right.
We see these all the time, and again, I guess it goes back to what you originally said, that by observing people's habits,
right,
we can segue right into what we have. And I think something needs to be noted, that we have to have, as Dennis Williams has taught us years ago, that we have to have an unshakable belief not only in our company's products, but in the ability that our company has to maintain and then go beyond that an extra few steps to make sure,
right,
that we have the premiere of what's out there, that it, we don't just have, chlorine-free water, or we just don't have, air that's got this. It's got several other entities built into that, so we can, within 100% confidence, know, not from an arrogant standpoint, ever. But also, you talked about, the purple pill, and I
right.
have to bring this up, that so often people are like, well, who do you know that's used that for that and created that kind of testimony? And I think we miss so much if we will just say, I don't know It's the Ruth Williams statement from years ago, and you were part of that, or, you know, privy to that conversation right from the beginning, that when a question is asked, well, would this help, da-da-da-da-da-da, well, how do you respond if somebody, you're conversing with them, and they say, well, you know, I deal with this, or my husband deals with this, would that product help?
One thing I remember from the Williams is, may we never know what we prevent,
mm-hmm.
or another good one is, you can certainly try it, and here we might be getting into three ways. I often say to them, you know, I know somebody who had that experience, and that's why I listen to testimonies so often. So then I will turn around and call that person, whether they're upline, sideline, wherever they are,
mm-hmm.
and say, tell them your story of the purple pill, or tell them your story of this, that, or the other. For example, with MagSteps, I don't often just go for people that have bad feet. I go for people that want to improve their golf game, and I've been known to call Roy Sagawa, who was a scratch golfer, and actually picked up an extra 15 yards per drive just using MagSteps.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, is that something, talking about the three-way, because this is a pivotal point, even when meeting somebody at wherever, just out and about, going through life, is that something that you have even done right from the get-go, is to take your cell phone and say, hey, I'd like to connect you with somebody, because you obviously aren't scheduling it, because you never have called me and say, hey, Vance, I'm going to Starbucks every day this week from this window. Will you be available? You've never done that, and yet how many times have you called me? I've lost track of how many times have you called me from Starbucks and said, Vance, I've just met this gentleman. Would you share with him? And boom, that's it. That's my warning. And yet, I'll bet you 90% of people that you connect your people with will always be available and always be ready to do that. But do you do that, I mean, even right from the get-go, or is there some process?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I always do. And by the way, the word three-way is something I think we should use just kind of within our own closed community, and I kind of drop the phrase when I'm talking to new people. A three-way is almost a scare word. However, I do use it when talking to people such as on this call, because a three-way is probably one of the most valuable things that you and I can use in our arsenal, and in this day and age of cell phones, it is just so easy to do, because you're standing talking to somebody face-to-face, and usually, while they're finishing a sentence, once I've gotten them to a certain point, I'm dialing the phone and say, hold on a second, I've got somebody, can shed a little more light on this, or I've got somebody I'd like you to meet. And then when you come on the line, I say, Vance, I'm here talking to so-and-so about blank, and you're just ready to go. And I think all of us that are in network marketing are really ready at a moment's notice to talk about the thing that we know about the most.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be back trouble, the purple pill, or whatever it happens to be.
Well, and the thing is, when you have developed a habit or a pattern of living your life, of like you and Gisela do, from that casual perspective, just being always, you know, as the Bible talks about being in season and out, that you're always ready and willing to serve other people, and that how many times have I not been home? Now, what do you do when you just get my voicemail?
I call another one.
Okay.
Or very often I will leave a message right in front of them and say, Vance, I'm here talking to Bob Smith. And Bob, what's your telephone number where my friend could call you? And he'll give it to me, and I'll say he'll be expecting your call to tell him about blank.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that with lots of people. And I usually do it with at least a couple of people in case somebody's on vacation. You can cue the person that you're calling on business. You can cue them on MagSteps, on the sleep system, on the water, on the air, on any of the nutritional products that we have. Just a whole host of things where you can involve people and do that three-way. And then I usually go on to another one until I hit one. Or I'll say, tell me where I can get back to you. And I never say, give me your telephone number. That's just not a good phrase. So I say, what's the best way to reach you? There are little euphemisms you can use.
And some people are more comfortable giving their email, and whereas
yep.
others hate computers, so they're more keen on just saying, hey, well, my phone, here, this is, I really am wanting to know more about this, so here's my contact, you know, information.
Exactly.
I'll take a card.
And I prize email connections, and I prize cell phone numbers, because then I can... I can reach these people. And there are some things that we have at our disposal on email that are just great. Like I met a man here in Florida about 3 weeks ago. He said, no, I don't have soft bones. Well, in the conversation that came out, he had already had 3 joint replacements. So, you know, he's somebody, I captured the email. I can send him to that website. Do we still have that on OsteoDance?
Yeah. And if you can't find it, email me and I'll make sure you get... You know, talking about bones, that's another interesting point, because here we don't want to become ambulance chasers and deal with each and every issue. However, at the initial point of a conversation, it's a great way to segue it in, and then, and I know you do this all the time, is that you segue in when you talk about the three-way. You're modeling what true network marketing is in order to build an EKIN business. That's what you're doing without getting into all of the, you know, the, okay, this is what we do next. I'm going to take you up and put you on a phone and do a three-way. Now, this is part of my training course. We don't ever have to even do
that. Right.
We just model it. And how many times have we gotten scared saying, okay, now I have to do a three-way because they said that's the next step? Well, we can model that and segue that right on in. And I call this the Stephen's three-way, in that, and I wish more of us could do this, and I'm pointing the finger right back at myself, quit trying to being a lone ranger, because you, of all people, you know, 32 years network marketing experience, you really don't need your sponsor, myself, to, you know, bring people in the business, and yet you do it all the time, and I think it's a perfect way to allow them to see when they come on board, look it, this is what you can do.
Well, I know what I'm good at, and that is making contact with people. And I may not be the best closer in the world, but I can sure find people who are.
Mm-hmm.
I may not be the best person to testify on something because I haven't suffered through that, but I know people who have been through it. So I'm always looking for the strengths. Mm-hmm. I like what Dave Stoltz, who said some years ago, and I thought this was a brilliant description of network marketing. He said, it's really as simple as this. You connect your upline with your downline, or your prospective downline, or... Let me turn it around and say, you connect a prospect or a prospective downline person to your upline, which is you and ultimately the company. And he said, you're just in the middle collecting the commission as it flows through. You're there to pick up the 6%.
And what a tough job we have, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Now, let me carry on with a couple more headlines in today's New York Times. And if I saw somebody reading this, I'd go in on it. There's one on page B1 says, Price out of weight loss camp. Child obesity rises, and it talks about a kid who came down from 354 pounds to 304 pounds and managed to get a scholarship, or she would still be stuck at this very high weight. And here's another one just below that. Retire now and risk falling short on your nest egg. And what a perfect way to talk about the business of network marketing,
mm-hmm.
and to go on into that.
Mm-hmm.
So these are every day in the paper, just every day, every day.
And people are reading them, so they're aware of them because, and, you know, being able to reference that and say, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that because, you know, you couldn't say on that first one that you quoted, I noticed that your child here is quite a bit bigger than the average size.
Right.
For some reason in our culture, now you go to other countries and they're not dealing with it because they talk about it straightforwardly, but
yeah.
We, for some reason, it's a sensitive issue and we get the emotional attachment to people dealing with, you know, being overweight or obese, especially with children. However, that being said, do you have kids? I was just reading this article this morning, and it's amazing where wellness is not at the forefront in our school systems and in our, you know, I don't know, and it can go anywhere. Stephen, there's one more thing I want to point out, and I want to let you go because I know you have a ferry to catch, but that is going back to, we talked about this three-way, you know, utilizing people that have a story that you can bridge the gap or just leverage the credibility, I think, is the biggest thing that we always need to be striving to do. And that if you don't get that person live, what you always do, you leave a message or you hand your phone to the person and you just let the person leave their information, whatever they're most comfortable with, as you said, their phone or their email or their mailing address. And I know a little bit, and I've heard their voice So when I call them back, oh, Jim, yes, you're right. You left a voicemail on my machine.
Exactly.
And I appreciate the fact that you're open enough to trust a complete stranger on the other end of the country.
Right.
And it breaks the ice, and people see how simple this is. I really think we need to take the complicatedness out.
Yes.
Of scheduling three ways. Just
never schedule them. Make them spontaneous. If you're calling from home, say, hold on a second, I'll be right back. And you come back on the line and say, hey, I'm here with my friend Vance, or whatever. There's one more thing that we need to kind of throw into this mix, and it's something I heard Dennis Williams say the first 3 months that I was in NECAN. He said, it's death to carry a business card in most cases. Now, he has one in the recesses of his wallet, probably, and of course we use them among ourselves because that's how we connect with one another on three ways. But when somebody's standing there talking to you whom you've just met, they will say, do you have a card? Well, that's the last thing I really want to find. So my body English is, I pat my shirt pocket as a man, I kind of feel in my wallet or my back pocket, a woman can look in her purse, and you let just a few seconds pass, and you say, tell you what, tell me the best way to get this information to you, email or cell phone, you know, you just go for that, and don't say, what's your phone number, say, what's the best way to connect with you? And then after I've captured their information, I somehow, very often, miraculously find a card, because that gives a better chance, because if I lose it, and I think your dad and I are prime on losing contact information, if I lose it, at least they have my card, and I want them to have some connection and to know that I'm a real person also, but you've just got to capture that contact information.
Another phrase that I love so well that my mom uses all the time, and I've seen her in form, just in rare form, do this all the time, why don't we exchange information?
Yes, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
And it's simple, and it's not threatening, and it keeps it light, and it just really keeps it fun. So.
Yes, it does. It's just one of my favorite things to do on a daily basis, and you know, in a little while, I'll be on a shuttle boat that takes us out to a certain beach that's owned by our development here. And we inevitably run into people on that. And, you know, already been to Starbucks. It was pretty bleak this morning. It was Saturday, and all the business people weren't there, but I had a good time anyhow. You just get out among people. Like, I'll tell you one thing your dad does, because your mother has this PhD in shopping. While she's in a store, he'll be hanging around the outside looking for the men sitting on the benches. And there are just all kinds of individual ways for you to meet people, whether it's to be out walking, out bicycling, join a walking club or a rowing club or whatever. Just get out among people. Like tomorrow morning, we go to a church down here that meets under a banyan tree. About 600 people on Sunday morning.
Wow.
They've been doing it for 6 or 8 years. And last time we were there, we met a couple that had just gotten married. They were both widowed in their 50s and got married. And she immediately became kind of the caretaker of this new husband. Gisela loves to tell this story. He had worked for Smith Barney, the investment firm, all of his life, and retired rather well. In fact, enviably. I mean, you and I would envy how well he has retired. But when we ask about prescription medication, and this is how we got into it, I'm always experimenting with new, shall we call them, pickup lines. People say, what do you do? And one that we tried that day and it worked was, well, we help people avoid or get off of prescription medication. Turned out this man was on 17 prescription meds.
Holy smokes.
And, you know, I'm like you, Vance, we're at zero. And here's this woman, this beautiful widow who just married this guy a year and a half ago, and she's on none because she watches her health, and she's looking over at this husband and blinking and thinking, what have I gotten into here? But I do have a good retirement, you know, and if he gorks, then, you know, at least I have this great inheritance. But we tried to go in and help. He kind of squashed it, but we did get her email so we can go back to her.
And, that, you know, the beauty of that is some people, we have to remember, we can't want it for other people more.
That's right.
Than we want it for themselves.
You really can't. And you can't give it away. You have to make people really want it. And you have to arouse their curiosity somehow so that they ask you. Mm-hmm. Well, for additional copies of this CD, contact Brad at growingandwellness.com. And do you have any other questions, Vance? I can't stop doing commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Back to your former occupation.
That's
right?
It's probably that cup and a half of coffee that I had.
I've had
all week. The rest of the week I had tea, herbal tea.
You know, I know I need to let you catch the ferry, else you're going to be in the doghouse of the East Coast, so we don't miss that. But I want to thank you again, Stephen B. Stevens, normally hailing from the Cincinnati, Ohio area, but this morning down in Florida. And it's been a real treat. And again, as he mentioned, if you have somebody or you want to go back and listen to some of these points again, www.growingandwellness.com. You can pick up the CD. They have a great auto ship program that I'm always talking about because I'm on it and I love it. Because every once in a while I get surprised. I'm like, wow, man, that is a great interview.
Sure. And you can remember these interviews. You know, you can peg them. Like I've heard people on there that I would not hesitate to call because they have a testimony.
Oh, absolutely. And I just got a call yesterday from a gal who was vacationing in northern Ohio or wherever she's at, Mary McClellan. And she said, Vance, I don't know if you remember about a year ago, but you had such and such person. Oh, I remembered exactly who it was.
Sure.
I connected her. I said, you know, better yet, just go buy the CD. It's $5. And then you can hand it to this person. Well, this person she's talking to is a chiropractor, it's a chiropractor. And she knew, Mary knew that this person's story would be just saying, going back to what you said earlier, we're just connecting people.
You know, Mary calls me all the time, and she's not even in my downline, but she calls me at least once a month for a three-way.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of CDs, I think one of the very best things in all of Nikan right now is the CDs that Dennis and Nancy Bryant put together.
The Connector Box.
The Connector Box.
Absolutely.
Of course, you can connect with that at www.focusongrowth.com or 800-496-8508. When I give out one of those CDs, very often I might not have them with me, but I'll mail it. I just put it on the photocopy machine, and then just write the person's name and contact information on there and put it in a little file so I remember where I sent that particular CD.
Again, brilliant little trick that you just said that most people might have gone right over their head is what the information you're sending to them, you just photocopy the title, the actual CD itself. If everybody's got a scanner in their home or whatever,
right?
But that way you're always tracking, so you're documenting because you don't. There's no way we can remember all this information in our head.
Dad and I have thrown away more good prospects than we have in our whole organizations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've all been guilty of that. Follow through for a people person. Follow through is one of our great weaknesses. But you know, we keep on keeping on.
Yeah, exactly. And on that note, just a point of clarification, Mary McClelland is in our organization. I think you're referring to Mary Margaret.
You're right. It is Mary Margaret. I apologize to Mary McClelland. She is.
She would literally bust a gasket. What? Stephen
is disowning
me?
That's right. She'd think I disowned her. Or bought somebody else's Nikan group. Oh, I apologize. But anyhow, I'm always happy to do three-ways with anybody, whether they're in or out of our organization. And I even do them on other subjects. Let me give you a prime subject right now.
And just a point of clarification here, you're the one keeping this interview going. It's not me.
Oh, I know, but I'm having to. It was a cup and a half of coffee this morning. Make you liquid-tongued. the movie Mamma Mia, you know, it is just so much fun, and we have three-wayed into that a few people, or we've recommended it, you know, or we'll start the conversation and talk about it and recommend it. And there are other movies, like I mentioned, Thank You for Smoking, which has the Nikan building in it. There are just lots of things that we're always recommending to people. I think all of us on this line have recommended restaurants, we've recommended movies. I've never yet received a commission from a restaurant or one of the big movie producers, but I keep doing it anyhow, and I get my overrides from the network marketing business from recommending that. But it's really just talking about what's in our heart that we really love and what we really believe in, and it's different with all of us.
And you talked about the movie Mamma Mia. It's all the music of ABBA, which I grew up with my parents who were kind of coming out of the hippie movement, and I don't know if they'll even admit to that. But
were they hippies?
Yeah. Well, with mom with blonde hair all the way down to her rear end, I'd say she was a hippie. But at any rate, and then dad had this really interesting facial growth that I don't know if you'd call it a beard or what, but the movie Mamma Mia, it brings to the screen what's been on the stage for the last few years, and it's the most money-making Broadway production in all times. 14,000 people every single night see that show.
And it's amazing how the critics dissed it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, anytime the critics put something down as a movie, that's right where I head usually, particularly if it's a funny movie.
And something like that is lighthearted. And how often can you get the opportunity to hear James Bond, you know, Pierce Brosnan, sing? I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't call that singing, but I enjoyed watching him try.
I called it struggling. But anyways, well, there's a little free promotion. And again, as you said, we're never going to get paid a dime off that. But the beauty is we do get rewarded handsomely from Nikan for doing what we should be doing on a regular basis, and that is connecting people, which is what we've been talking about. So, Stephen, I'm going to let you go. So thank you for being on the call, and I want to thank you, everybody, for joining us. And again, same time, same number. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Next week, Stephen is going to say goodbye now. So,
okay.
There we go.
Goodbye, everybody. Good night, Tracy. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Just as a reminder, so this is my segue out, and we're going to jump into some introductions. But next week there will be no call because of the Rhythm event. You should be at your location and go from there. So we'll regroup in 2 weeks with Joan Spear, New Diamond, and Nikan. So thank you guys so much for being on the call. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.